Good day, friends. We again come to you, and for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to the program and trust that the Spirit of God may make very precious and very real to you the wonderful story of our Savior Jesus Christ. We're in the 20th chapter of the Gospel through John. We're dealing here with the risen Savior. And may I again repeat what I have said before in our last lesson. The cross of Christ is the greatest tragedy ever enacted on earth if there is no resurrection. The cross is a real tragedy without resurrection. We have no Savior, no Lord, if He's not raised from the dead. But if our Savior be raised from the dead, then we have the wonderful assurance of salvation, of life, and all that we have in Christ Jesus. Now we're dealing with the Lord's appearing unto Mary, and you're in the first 18 verses. And you remember that Mary, according to Mark 16, she was the first one to whom the Lord appeared. Now we were dealing in this passage with Peter and John, their experience at the tomb, and we were dealing with Mary, and she's weeping. And now allow me to go back to verse 11, if I may, and pick up the connection from where we had in our last lesson. Mary stood without at the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said to her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Let me just stop here for a moment or two. You remember we were discussing the fact that Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping. Peter and John had come and had gone away. But Mary still stopped there. She still stayed there. She was full of love for the Savior. And she's not going to be satisfied until she sees him, meets him. And you know, it puts us to shame when we think of the devotion of this woman for the Savior. You remember she was one out of whom the Lord had cast seven demons. And here she is, full of devotion to the Lord. In verse 2 and in verse 13, to the disciples, Peter and John, she said, they've taken away the Lord. See, she was one with them. But when she saw the angel, she said, they've taken away my Lord. Again, I repeat it, dear Mary is not going to be sidetracked even by angelic beings. All she wants is the body of her Savior. She was seeking a dead Christ. And she had a right to weep, by the way. She had a right to weep if Jesus was not raised from the dead. If he's still in the tomb, if he's still dead, if he's been carried away by somebody, she's got a right to weep. And believe me, my friend, you and I have a right to weep if Jesus be not raised from the dead. Oh, that I could make this clear to your heart. We're dealing with the most fundamental, foundational truth of our Christian faith. If Christ be not raised from the dead, we are yet in our sins. Now, along came the Savior. And you remember, the Lord said in verse 15, Woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek? And she thought he was the gardener, the one in care of that garden. Said, Sir, if you've taken his body away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll go and get him. And Jesus just said one word, Mary. You know, these are the first words that the Lord said after resurrection. Woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek? As I said a moment ago, Mary's devotion just puts us to shame. Many of us Christians do so little for the Lord. We say so little. We serve so little. We give so little. I'm reminded of what Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 5:14 or verse 13 and 14. If we be beside ourselves, it's to God. If we're sober, it's for your cause, for the love of Christ overmasters us. Friend, does the love of Christ overmaster you? I've oftentimes said it's not, the marvelous thing is not that we love the Savior. The most wonderful thing is that He should even love us.